All right, so now let's turn to God's Word this morning. Throughout this Lenten season, we have been focused, as many of you know, on repentance. We want to set our hearts and minds on turning to the Lord, understanding Him, helping Him, receiving Him in to change our lives. We talked about the fact that repentance is the first step in which we gain a new understanding or new attitude about the Lord, and we receive that into our lives. And as the weeks have gone on, as I look back at what I preached about, we've been following this path, this progression that God leads us down when we begin on that path of repentance. Let me just bring up something on the screen. Okay. I'm just going to make sure I have my sermon slide up on the screen. There we go. We're going to talk about the power of grace today. Because as we've been talking, we've talked about repentance being that first moment where you gain some new understanding about the Lord. You have a change in your attitude, a change in your frame of mind. Repentance is really an agreement with that new way of understanding God that He makes us aware of. And it's the first step toward a changed life. And once you've taken that step, once you've opened your mind and your heart to understanding things in a new way, you begin to evaluate your own life differently. You're going to acknowledge and recognize sinful patterns in your life and sinful actions. You're going to find yourself feeling convicted, knowing when you're acting in ways that are contrary to what God wants for you. And you're going to want to change. But that change doesn't just come from deciding, I want to do things differently. I think we all know the challenge that comes when we know we want to do something different, but then actually making that happen often doesn't happen by our own willpower. We need the strength of God to help us overcome those things. And we talked about the roots of sin a couple of weeks ago in understanding that it's also not just looking at the actions that we make, but understanding what underlies those actions. What are those root desires that we're trying to fulfill? And what are the ways that we're not really trusting God? And so God starts to take us down that path. Once we've repented, He helps us to understand our attitudes and our actions and how we're making choices that involve trying to fulfill our own lives rather than trusting in Him. And then last week, we explored the role of confession of sin. Confession is not just some religious ritual that you must participate in, as so many people have been taught throughout their lives. Confession is simply an acknowledgement of sin. It's an admission of what's true. Being honest with yourself and with God that this is what I'm doing and it's not what God wants me to do. It's just confessing that, speaking it to the Lord, acknowledging the true state of your heart, the true state of your life. And when you confess your sin to the Lord, it brings you into God's presence and allows Him to begin to work in your life rather than cutting yourself off and closing yourself off. So often when we try to hide or rationalize or defend our actions, we're just really closing ourselves off from other people. And we're closing ourselves off from letting God heal us and help us overcome those things in our life. And so confession is that first step to opening ourselves up to the Lord. And I mentioned last week how even confessing to your brothers and sisters in Christ can invite them into that process of growth and healing. These three past weeks, I hope you can see a path that God brings us down from repentance to recognizing sin to confessing sin. It brings you to a very difficult point in the path that God leads us on, where He wants to produce change in our lives. Confessing and opening yourself up to the Lord is probably the most difficult step in the process because it requires you to admit your weaknesses and your failures. It exposes those places in your life where you are just not living up to what God wants. It's a vulnerable place because once you get to that point, you're saying, I am making the wrong choices. I'm not living the way I know You want me to live, Lord, and I can't do anything about it. What are You going to do with me? And so much of our lives is bound up in us trying to control the outcomes of our lives, trying to make things happen the way we want them to happen. But when you get to that point of repentance and then confessing to the Lord, you're just placing yourself into God's hands and what he's going to do with you now. And I know from my own life, and I know from conversations with many of you, so often we avoid that point in our lives because there's fear that comes up. Fear of judgment. Fear of rejection. Fear of condemnation for the things that we've done. And there's no mystery where that comes from. We experience it all the time. People judge us. People reject us. People tell us that we're not worthy. And so how much more is the Lord going to do it when we're doing things that we know that we shouldn't do? But this vulnerable point, this place of confessing and opening ourselves up to the Lord is the very spot that God needs us to come to if he's going to work in our lives. If we're going to really experience the power that comes from God's Spirit entering our lives and guiding us. And there's a parable that Jesus told that describes this path that I've been talking about this morning and what happens when we just let our guard down, open ourselves up humbly and honestly to the Lord. And we understand from this parable how we can expect God to respond in that moment. This is the parable of the prodigal son that many of you are probably familiar with. But I want to walk through that with us this morning, considering this path of repentance that we've been talking about. So let's open up together to Luke chapter 15. And we're going to look at verses, starting in verse 11. So Luke chapter 15. Don't you love it when the pages stick together and you're like, just need that one in between there. So Luke 15 has a number of parables that Jesus told. Starting in verse 11, he speaks about this lost son that we refer to as the prodigal son. Verse 11, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' And so he divided his property between them." And I'm going to just pause right there. This, and just recognize the state of the son in this moment. This is the unrepentant person. This is the person who has decided, I want what I want, and I want it now, and I'm going to pursue it in any way I can. And the father doesn't resist, just as God doesn't resist us when we want to go our way. He may try to teach us, he may try to call us back, but he's going to let us make our choices. And so the son has made his choice, and he's going to go off and spend his inheritance. Verse 13 says, "Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need." And I'm going to pause there and just consider that moment in our lives. We've been unrepentant. We want what we want. We go off and pursue it. And we often find out that those ways of pursuing fulfillment in life don't live up to the expectation. So many of those sinful things that we do end up falling short. They end up leaving us in a state where we're in trouble, a state of longing, losing what we once had. Consequences happen where we're stuck, and that's where exactly where the son is. And you start to feel that pressure that something might be wrong here. And yet, the son wasn't quite ready to go back yet. He still wanted to take care of things on his own. And we do the same thing. We get into trouble. Things aren't going the way we thought they would, and we are like, okay, I can figure this out. I'm going to get myself back out of it. And that's the path that we so often take. Verse 15, he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his field to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And so the young man is now suffering. He has found himself in a state much worse than he ever had before, where he began wanting and believing that he had so much and he could make so much good of himself. See, sinful temptation blinds us. It makes us think that we can get something great if we just go off and do that one thing. If we just follow our desire in this moment, it's going to be so wonderful. But I think we all know, especially as Christians, with the knowledge of God and the life that he wants for us, we understand that those sinful desires don't fulfill. They do end up leading us into these places where we're worse off than we once were before. And you can imagine the son in this place where he's willing to eat even the pig food, but no one gave him anything. Blaming the world. How come nobody's giving him what he wants, right? Have you ever known someone in that situation where they've gotten themselves into trouble and they're like, why won't anyone take care of me? Why won't anyone else fix this for me? Why is everyone making my life hard? Have you ever found yourself in that situation? We often end up doing that to ourselves. We make those choices, we get ourselves stuck, and then we blame everyone else. It's human nature. It's part of that sinful nature. And if we live in that unrepentant state, that's the path that we continue to live in. And as Christians, it's important to understand that this isn't just a one-time thing that we repent and all of a sudden we understand God completely and we know all the wise things to do. No, throughout our lives, we're going to have other areas of our lives uncovered. We're like, oh, I'm still selfish in this area. And now I understand and I need to repent of that. Oh, I need to repent of that. And so it's a lifelong journey that God takes us on to continue to reveal to those areas of our lives where we haven't understood him properly, where we haven't been trusting him and following him. And so whenever I preach on this, I will use examples that are obvious to us. When we look out into the world, we can find people living these ways, but I always want you to turn it back to yourself as well and recognize these patterns are within us as well. It's not just looking around. We do this to ourselves. But this son now is living a terrible life. He is suffering because he has selfishly pursued what he wanted. And then finally in verse 17, he came to his senses. That's repentance right there. He came to his senses. He finally awakened to, oh, this is not the life that my father wants for me. It's not the life I want for myself. I got myself here. He came to his senses. And he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. That's the moment of confession, where he has admitted his wrong. And he's willing to admit it to his father. He's going to go. He's determined to change his life. And now he is walking down the path to do something different. But he's also putting himself in a vulnerable position. What is his father going to do when he gets there? I know many people in this world would look at that son and said, well, you got what you deserved. Right? You took your inheritance. You are no longer my son. Right? That's the normal human response, isn't it? And that's the kind of response that we may expect when we confess ourselves to the Lord. And this son is placing himself at his father's mercy. That's what confession does. As I was trying to describe earlier, it places us at the mercy of the one we are confessing to. And it's important to get to that point. And before we read the rest of this, I know we're familiar with this. I want to just stop there for a moment and ask us all to just personalize this today. Take a moment and consider areas of your life where you can relate to this young man. Consider choices that you've made. Maybe in the past, maybe it's something you're doing right now in the present. Things that you've wanted for yourself, and you have gone out of your way to get those things for yourself, to try to seek fulfillment on your own. where you've rejected God's plan for you. You've decided, I'm going to do things because I just want this. Think about those ways that you pursued your own desires and think about how those things have fallen short and how it's left you feeling. And then consider being stuck in that place alone and unfulfilled like the son in the parable. How he chose a path, but it didn't turn out the way he expected, and how that can leave you in an uncomfortable spot of having to admit that you're wrong. Do we like to admit that we're wrong? Does anyone like to admit that you're wrong here? None of us does, do they? Do we? And we will make all kinds of excuses. We'll make elaborate justification for why we've done. But can we get to that point where we just admit, I'm wrong. I was wrong. And I want you to think for a moment about a moment in your life where you've had to just admit, I'm in the wrong spot. I'm doing the wrong things. I am disobeying the Lord's will for me. I have fallen short of God's goodness. Maybe even feeling like Paul expresses in the Gospels, I am the worst of sinners. And I want you to just, for a moment, place yourself in that spot where you are at that moment of vulnerability to confess to the Lord, Lord, I have chosen wrong. I have ignored your way. And I am the worst of sinners. And this can be uncomfortable, but that's an important part of the process of change, is to get uncomfortable, to be okay with that discomfort, and to be okay with the vulnerability before the Lord. Imagine coming to that moment of realization and humility and having to go back to the Father now and begging him to take you back. That's the spiritual state of our lives when we finally give in and turn back to God, when we finally recognize we have been pursuing our own path and not trusting the Lord. It can be difficult to face. And it can be feel worse than trying to just keep making excuses. But that's exactly where God needs us to be. We need to experience those moments of humility, embarrassment even, vulnerability, to come before the Lord and say, okay, God, just do with me whatever you're going to do, because I have failed you once again. And that's where this son is, and that's where I want to encourage us all to be willing to get. Be willing to lay down your life before God and say, God, I have failed you again. What are you going to do with me? And if we know God, and I hope we continue to know God more and more, you know how he's going to respond. Jesus told us in this parable how God responds to us in those moments. When we jump back into verse 20, it says, he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. Imagine how the son must have felt in that moment. The fear and the doubt that he had coming up to his father, and his father didn't even wait for the apology. His father didn't even wait for the confession. He just came out and grabbed him and greeted him and welcomed him back. Verse 21, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. That is exactly how God views you when you return to him. When he sees that you were lost and you were wandering and you were pursuing your own way and you were ignoring him, and then you turn back to him and receive him, ready to receive him and ready to confess to him, he just embraces you and says, I am so happy that you have returned. Welcome back to me. He wants to celebrate you, embrace you, rejoice with you just for the fact that you have returned. There's so many ways that our thinking gets off track, I think, when it comes to understanding Lord. We think that we have to somehow come back to him and make our life right and show him that we've got it figured out, Lord. I'm going to do well next time. And then maybe you can receive me and accept me and use me. But that's not at all the way God is. God says, no, I don't need you to prove anything. All I want is you to acknowledge that you want to be with me, that you want to follow me, that you want to be near you, and I will embrace you. And we know from the rest of Scripture what God does with us from that moment on. He provides his strength and his spirit and his support to continue to change us and to grow us. It's that moment of humility and confession and vulnerability that opens us up to receive the fullness of God's grace, his undeserved mercy. And that's the power of grace that I hope we understand as we consider the path that God calls us on to repent from whatever we're doing in our lives, to turn back to him, to humble ourselves. God is ready to receive us, to accept us, before you even fully reach him. In every part of your life, God is watching and waiting for you. If you're wandering off on your own, if you've turned your back on him in any way, God hasn't turned away from you. He's still watching and he's still waiting. You can imagine the father just looking out the window every day watching for his son to return. He knew his son was on the way back before his son even got there. God is watching over your life and he is waiting. And he is waiting for that moment where you just turn around and look to him and acknowledge, I need you, Father. And he will be right there to scoop you back up. We have nothing to fear from the Lord. We don't have to fear his judgment. Is it difficult sometimes to follow God? Yes. Is it difficult to overcome the obstacles in our lives? Yes. It doesn't always feel good. We live in a sinful, broken world. We're going to have to deal with that. But God is always, we know this promise is true from the Scripture, God is always ready to receive us and embrace us and offer us all the help that we can possibly need. God will not condemn you. He will not judge you harshly for your sin. He will embrace you. And because of what Jesus has done, the resurrection that we're going to be celebrating in a couple of weeks, we can know that our sin is completely forgiven. Jesus has paid the price for it. And because Jesus has paid that price, there is nothing that the Father has against you. He will embrace you fully and cover you with his grace. That grace is what opens your life up to the power of God, to work in new ways, to take you on new paths in your life, to give you new opportunities, and to help you to overcome those sinful patterns that we so often get stuck in. So I just want you to know today that God is watching and waiting for you to turn to him. He is there to receive you. And the power of his grace is that God welcomes you even in your most vulnerable moments and makes himself available to you. Let's give thanks to the Lord that he is present and he is available to us in every moment of our lives. Let's pray and give him thanks, and then we'll celebrate with our last song today. Heavenly Father, thank you for showing yourself to us. Thank you for helping us to know in advance how you will respond to us. We thank you that you are such a loving and grace-filled God. We need that grace, Lord. We stumble through our lives. We make selfish choices. We turn away from you, and it can be hard to admit it, Lord, and to turn back to you. But I pray that as you deepen our understanding of you, as you deepen our trust in you, you can make it more easy for us to turn back to you, to admit our shortcomings, because we know that you are like the Father that Jesus told us about, ready to receive us as soon as we look into your eyes and tell you that we want to be with you. Lord, we do want to be with you in every part of our lives. I pray that you continue to show us who you are, continue to open our hearts and minds to new understanding, and to keep us turning back to you in new ways each and every day. I pray for your blessing on this church, Lord, as we go throughout our week. We look forward to celebrating you again next time. In Jesus' name, amen.